A Dream Come True. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1. 1913. Do you, Serena Mary, take this man? The bride was beautiful, and everyone in the church agreed that she looked a picture. Although not in the first flush of youth, her eyes sparkled as brilliantly as the magnificent diamonds around her neck. Her oyster-coloured dress was both fashionable and flattering for a woman of her age. The skirt was fitted to the hips and then hung straight down. The top was long-sleeved and covered in expensive lace. No, no, thought Lucia, as she watched the happy couple gazing into each other's eyes and exchanging vows. She had not wanted to come to this wedding, and if there had been anything she could have done to prevent it happening, she would have. Mama, how could you? She wanted to scream, trying not to cry. Papa had only been dead for a year, and that man, was responsible. There were a few in the church that day who would not have agreed with the first sentiment, if not the last. The people of Shilborough were conservative and were still strict in their observance of mourning rituals, and Lady Serena Mountford had raised eyebrows when she had announced barely 11 months after Lord Mountford's sad demise on the maiden voyage of RMS Titanic that she would marry for the second time. "She's not even out of mourning," the villagers gossiped, as she was driven past them in the family's sparkling Rolls-Royce, still wearing the black woollen coat that marked her out as a widow. It had been Lord Mountford's pride and joy, a silver ghost, and one of the latest models. Lord Mountford's Rolls-Royce was one of the few motor cars to be found speeding around that part of Hertfordshire. Even more shocking, when alive, he had actually driven the vehicle himself, they muttered. The vicar continued the marriage ceremony, and Lucia looked down at her bouquet of spring flowers that had been tied with a silk ribbon. Had they not been quite content on their own, without Sir Arthur Macalister? She recalled the awful day when they had received the telegram from the family solicitor in London, telling them of the sinking of the White Star ship en route to New York. Lucia had been in the garden, admiring the sea of daffodils that grew in undulating drifts across the rolling lawns of Bingham Hall. How she loved the spring! It was a beautiful afternoon. The birds were singing, and Lucia was just contemplating changing into her riding habit when a terrible howling noise, like an animal in pain, issued forth from the French windows that led to the drawing room where her mother was doing her embroidery. "Mama," whispered Lucia, alarmed. She ran back across the lawns as fast as her fashionably fitted skirt would allow her and threw open the glass doors. Lady Mountford was on the sofa, rocking and sobbing. A discarded telegram lay at her feet, while Mostyn, the butler, looked on, horrified. "Miss Lucia, thank heaven," he murmured as Lucia appeared. "Mama? Mama, what is it?" she cried, throwing her arms around her mother's neck. Lady Mountford could scarcely speak for crying. She tried to cover her face and simply pointed to the telegram on the floor. "Oh, no," muttered Lucia as she picked it up. "Please contact me urgently. Stop. The RMS Titanic has sunk. Stop. Lord Mountford not on first list of survivors. Stop. Henry Irwin," it read. Lucia's blood had run cold when she read the words in the telegram. Mr. Irwin was a friend as well as their solicitor. Both Lucia and her mother had been reluctant to allow Lord Mountford to travel to New York. He had invested in some factories in New York State on the advice of Sir Arthur Macalister, a business acquaintance of his. Little did Lucia know, as she sat there with the telegram in her shaking hand, what further part Sir Alistair was to play in their lives. "Mama," she choked, trying to compose herself. "Have you telephoned Mr. Irwin?"